Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
All right, well, welcome to Wednesday night service. So glad y'all are here. You know, Wednesday night's kind of more family night. We dive a little bit kind of deeper into the Word sometimes on Wednesday night, just because Wednesday night is not really a Sunday morning crowd, right? It's for those that really want the things of God. You don't work all day on Wednesday and come out to church on Wednesday night unless you're really needing something from the Lord, right? Because sometimes you're standing here like, oh, man, I'm so tired. It's true because I said it. All right, let's just pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this time, Lord, and welcome Holy Spirit in this place, Lord. Just come and blow on us, God, and come and speak to us tonight, Lord. Speak to us by your word, Father God. Lord, I pray that we are just that good soil, Father, and that we are clay in your hands, Lord, moldable and shapeable, Father, that we are of good use for your kingdom, Father God. Lord, use us to bring you glory, to bring all praise and glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Father, let us just receive this word that you have for us, Father, and bring forth fruit for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to date myself a little bit on this, but who remembers Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? Just a few of us. It started in the 60s, right? But when I was a kid, right, and it was Wild Kingdom, and so when it came on, you know, there was an hour long about an animal, right? And and so you'd follow the life of this animal, whatever, and I just liked how the narrator talked, and so it was kind of an animal kingdom type show, and you learn about different animals and stuff, and, you know, I thought what was really interesting is you'd be watching it sometime, and, you know, the gazelle comes on, and for an hour, you're just like, you're in the gazelle world, right? And he's on the gazelle's walking around, and he's tiptoeing, and he's really hungry, and he's looking for food. And the gazelle, and he's running. The gazelle is running, right? So the whole hour, you're just like, the gazelle, right? And a lion comes out and eats the gazelle, and you're like, oh, gosh, the gazelle, no. He's gotten eaten, no. Right? And the next week, the lion's on, and you're like, the lion, and he's roaming around, and he's looking for the gazelle, and he's hungry, and he hasn't eaten in weeks, and for 60 minutes, you're listening to the lion, right? And the lion gets the gazelle, and you're like, yes! The lion gets to eat! Whatever voice that's narrating to us is the voice that we're going to give heed to. Whatever voice that we're playing in our mind, that we're allowing the loudest to be in us, is the voice that we're going to give heed to. It's the voice we're going to pay attention to. It's the voice we're going to side with. We're going to follow that voice. In Isaiah 28:23, it says, give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Now, Isaiah here is prophesying to the Ephraimites. They're of Judah. And they're being reproved and threatened for their pride and their drunkenness, their security and their sensuality. They're likewise reproved and threatened for their dullness and stupidity and an aptness to profit by the instructions which the prophets have given them in God's name. The rulers of Jerusalem are reproved and threatened for their insolent contempt of God's judgment and setting them at defiance. And after a gracious promise of Christ and his grace, they are made to know that the vain hopes of escaping the judgments of God with which they flattered themselves would certainly deceive them. See, they were listening to every other voice. They listened to their own voice. They listened to the voice of the enemy. They listened to the voice of the world, but they weren't listening to the voice of the Lord. So there's a lot of loud voices that are screaming at us every day. Whose voice are you giving attention to? We have our own carnal voice that talks to us. This is that carnal mind. It's the mind that hasn't been renewed yet. It's the carnal mind only thinks of itself. The carnal mind thinks of itself. It speaks in doubt and speaks in fear. The voice of the enemy, it tells you who you are and what you can do. The voice of the world tells you how to live, what to do, how to act, what to say. And then we have the voice of the Lord, and it's that small, still voice that's gentle. It doesn't push, he nudges. What voice are we going to give attention to? Right? Whatever's narrating in our mind, whatever voice is loudest, that's where we're going to go, folks. So the first one is our own voice. When we are born again of the Spirit of God, we become a new creation in Jesus Christ, right? We get a new spirit. We get free from sin and bondage. Yet we still have a carnal way of thinking. We still have a carnal mind. And so we're all of a sudden born again. We get a new spirit. But our mind still thinks like the old man. Right? In Romans 8:7, it says the carnal mind is enmity. It means it's against it. It's an enemy of. It's contrary to God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Because the carnal mind doesn't think like Christ. It doesn't want to do the things of God. It doesn't want to obey the word of God. The carnal mind wants its own way. It thinks carnal thoughts. It thinks carnal ways. It's fleshly, right? It's a natural mind. The carnal mind focuses on how we used to react to things before the Lord came in. Right? Think about how you handled things before the Lord came in. Generally, right, we react instead of respond. Those are those knee-jerk reactions. We reacted with fear, doubt, anger, guilt. A reaction is instant. It's driven by beliefs, biases, and prejudices of the carnal mind. A reaction is based in the moment and doesn't consider long-term effects of what you do or say. When you do something without thinking, it's the carnal mind running the show. Why did I say that? It's because it's the carnal mind. We reacted. We didn't respond. The carnal mind is in survival, is survival oriented, and is on some level a defense mechanism. It's interesting, I read this article in Psychology Today. Now, this is a totally worldly article, but he's talking about the unconscious mind, and it says, left to its own devices, the unconscious mind, this is that carnal way of thinking, creates a whole library of beliefs, prejudices, biases, fears, and limiting decisions. Its main goal is to survive. So anything that might threaten survival becomes public enemy number one to the unconscious mind. So that right there is a worldly way of saying what God has already told us. That the carnal mind doesn't want the things of God. It doesn't look for the things of God. It doesn't act according to the Spirit. They are in direct contrast. The carnal mind is constantly, how does this affect me? That's how the carnal mind thinks. How does this affect me? Now, I'm going to share a story with you guys, and please, okay, don't judge me. Don't think bad about me. I've been saved for like a year at this point in my walk as a baby Christian. Sucking my thumbs. Remember Jonathan last week when he's preaching, right? Sucking fingers. You know, I need my diaper changed. I was still a baby, okay? So, after I got saved, I moved in with my grandmother, and she had rheumatoid arthritis, and I took care of her and stuff. And so, she had put my name on all of her accounts and stuff because I had to pay all her bills, right? And I took care of her and everything like that. And, she never cared what I spent money on. She knew that I, you know, I I was doing things right and taking care of the food and all this sort of stuff. And so, I feel so horrible saying this. So a mission trip came up in my church, and I really wanted to go, and I didn't have all the money. And so you already know where I'm going with this. I took money out of my grandma's account, you know, and I sat there and I was like, well, it's my name's on it. That's the carnal mind. How does this affect me? I really want to go on this. And then you start, well, it's for God. See, I know none of y'all never done anything bad, okay? So I'm just going to lay myself out there for you guys, okay? And you know, I've repented of it. My, you know, it was all good. It worked out between me and my grandmother. And, you know, I fell down on my face crying and weeping and, you know. But in that moment, my carnal mind took over. Started justifying my actions. Well, this is for God. Going on a mission trip. Well, your name's on the account. It's your money. Well, it wasn't really my money. I was just in charge of my grandmother's money. But the carnal mind thinks about itself. It doesn't respond, it reacts. The answer to the carnal mind voice is to be renewed on a daily basis according to God's word. That's the answer, right? In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Renew our mind. Our mind is natural when we come to Christ. It still thinks like the old man does. That's why it has to be renewed daily. Meaning we've got to take what God says about things and make them our thoughts. And if you don't know what God says, you got to get in your word and find out what God says about things. Everything's in there. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. It's all in there. Everything we need for life and godliness. He tells us everything we need. But we have to renew our mind to that. And that's the hard part. Because we want to hold on to the natural way of thinking. We want to hold on to that old man. We want to do those things. But the carnal mind cannot please God. And we will continually make bad choices and bad decisions if we operate out of the carnal mind. A Christ-like response will be from a renewed mind in Christ. A renewed mind comes from a life of prayer. It'll come from what you know about the Lord and his word. And if you think you know God, but you don't know his word, you don't know God. Because the word shows who God is, displays his character, right? It's alive, absolutely. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. We find out who God is in his word. A renewed mind will take into consideration what will happen if you do or say something. A renewed mind thinks about other people, not about self. And it's not a knee-jerk. It says, what will happen if I proceed down this path? It takes into account somebody else. It takes into account morals and values. It weighs the long-term effects and stays in line with Christ. Because there's long-term effects, people, from a lot of stuff that we do sometimes. You make a decision that'll affect, and it'll affect you the rest of your life sometimes. A renewed mind thinks of others more than self. Now, the second voice is the voice of the enemy. You're like, gosh, how do I know whose voice? What? All these voices coming at me, right? You can recognize the voice of the enemy because he always speaks concerning our identity. The enemy always attacks our identity. He will always attack our identity. It's the original sin. The enemy's voice works in lies and half-truths. And because the devil comes as an angel of light, it looks good. It appears holy. It appears pretty. It is subtle. It sounds good. Look in Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 and then 4 and 5. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the fruit?'" So here he's saying, did God really say that? Is that what God really said? Right? It's that half-truth. Where God, you know, he's questioning that, right? He's questioning that. So now he attacks their identity. And the serpent says to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You will be like God. You will be like God, right? And I tell people this all the time. If you do not know who you are in Christ, the devil's going to continually use this voice against you. He's going to continually use the voice against you. He's like your own voice. Heck, man. Listen to me. Right? And in Christ, we become a son. We become sons and daughters of the Most High God. But if you don't understand that, and we sang that tonight, we sang, he's a good, good father. Right? But if you don't know him as your father, you're going to be constantly in confusion, in chaos. And the enemy is going to constantly bombard you. Same. A child of God makes decisions based on how to please the Father. But an orphan makes decisions on how to please self. They don't know their identity in the Father. A son and daughter lives in the realm of safety and security. Decisions will flow from a trust in the Father. But an orphan lives in fear and doubt. Decisions flow from anxiety and constant fear. A son lives in acceptance and inclusion into the family of God. But an orphan lives in abandonment and isolation and alienation, resulting in a spirit of insecurity and jealousy like that of Cain. Satan has nothing new under the sun. He does the same old things, and it works. Humanity has not changed in thousands of years. What got Adam and Eve still gets us. What got Cain and Abel still gets us. And we think we're so knowledgeable about things, you know. Oh, Satan doesn't know. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's been studying humanity for thousands of years. You're no different. He knows exactly how to get in. He knows how to get to you. He knows what to say to you. The son lives in blessings, and the orphan lives in competition. In Ephesians 1, and I love the book of Ephesians, if you want to know who you are in Christ, read Ephesians. It says, go through, this is a new Bible, so this is, thank you, Galia. This is a new Bible. So mine, this isn't all marked up yet, but in my Ephesians, in my study Bible, everywhere it says in him or in Christ, I have it highlighted. Because it says it time and time again. Right? I'm just going to start in verse 3. "May blessings be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, even as he has chose us and picked us as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love, for he foreordained us to be adopted as his own children through Jesus in accordance with the purpose of his will, to the praise and commendation of his glorious grace, which he so freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the remission of our offenses, in accordance with the riches and generosity of his gracious favor, which he lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, making known to us the mystery of his will, in accordance with his good pleasure, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him, for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages, to unify all things and head them up, consummate them in Christ, things in heaven, things on earth. In him we were also made God's heritage, and we obtained an inheritance, for we have been foreordained in accordance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will, so that we who first hoped in Christ live for the praise of his glory. And go through that. And if you're struggling with not being a child of God, go through that and mark it and memorize it and say, in him I have redemption. In him he ordained me. In him I have purpose. In him I can give him praise. Go through and circle that. If you are struggling with Satan continually attacking who you are in Christ. Because you need to know, otherwise you are going to be continually beat down. And your decisions will flow from an orphan mindset. And they will be wrong. And they will lead you to bad places that you never wanted to go. This is why Satan constantly attacks our identity in Christ. Remember what he said to Jesus in the desert? If you are the Son of God. If you are. Praise God, Jesus knew who he was. You know, but when does Satan come to you and says, if you are a child of God? Come on, how many times have you heard that? I'm like, yo, you're not really a child of God. You don't really deserve that. Who do you think you are? That's the voice of the enemy. And if he can get you to believe his lies concerning your identity, you will live a life of insecurity and jealousy. You will live a life of competition with everybody else. You will live a life of Cain, wanting to kill your brother when God constantly blesses him. All your decisions will flow if this is the voice that you hear the loudest. The third voice is the voice of the world. This is the voice of the false prophets who compromise with the world and its ways. This is the voice screaming at you to tolerate sin and immorality. It's the voice telling you what love is, what love is not, who Christ is, who he's not. You've heard it. It's the voice that constantly accuses your Christianity. Well, who do you think you are? You're not really a Christian. You can't do that. That's not loving. It's the voice of the world. If this voice is the loudest, you will give all your attention to it and you will follow its ways and its patterns. James 4:4 says, adulterers and adulteresses. And then he puts exclamation point after that. Exclamation point. He's like emphatic. Do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. It's powerful. He said, if you want to be a friend of the world, if you make yourself a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. He's not mixing words here, folks. The Holy Spirit wrote this. He's not mixing words. This voice is completely overpowering. The world's voice is pushy, it is boastful, and it is proud. The world's voice is loud and demanding. It always demands its way. It's easy to recognize, but it's hard to avoid. It's easy to recognize the voice of the world, but it's hard to avoid it. Because it's pushy It's demanding. It's constantly in your face. It taunts. It taunts like Goliath. Look at in 1 Samuel 17, 8 through 10. This is Goliath here. He said, he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Defying the army of Israel was defying God. So I defy you and your God. That's what Goliath is chanting here. That's what he's taunting to all of them right now. So the Philistine said to David, verse 43, "Am I a dog that you come at me with a shepherd's stick?" When he sees the man of God, he taunts him. He's like, "What? Am I a dog? I'm big. I'm loud. You can't win against me." It's boastful. He's proud. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. It defies God in the face of his people. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because if this voice is the loudest, you will follow its ways. You will follow its ways. Now, I really didn't want to share this story, and I wasn't going to. But Amanda came over and she said, "I don't know why, but the Lord just said, it's of him." And I didn't want to share it because, you know, it's, hey, I want everybody to like me. We had dinner with some friends the other night. And we were at the table, and her dad lives in a different state, and her dad, you know, called her up and was asking her this question. And he goes to church with this lady, and the lady in her church has a gay son, and her son was getting married. And she said, "I'm not going to the wedding." And my friend's dad was like, "Why would you not go? That's your child." And she said, I can't. I have to stand by the word of God. I can't do this. It's not of God. It's not of God." And she asked me, and the girl asked me, and she's like, what would you do? And I said, "Listen," I said, I love my kids and I love people, but I love Jesus more. I love Jesus more. And you know what? And on that day, I got to answer to him. And the world is taunting us. And the world is in our face, and what are we going to do about it? And I'm like, I can't give in to something that the Bible says is clearly ungodly. It's clearly sinful. It's clearly a path of destruction. And as much as I love my own children, I can't sit there and say, "This is okay, the path of destruction you're on." And she said, "That's what I told my dad too." You can't, folks. We can't compromise with the Goliath. We certainly can't stand just on the sidelines and let him taunt us and do nothing either. If you pitch your tent in Sodom, you are going to give heed to the world's voice. See, we tend to fear the reprisal of man more than we fear God. Revelation 21, verses 5 through 8. Now, I want you to know, this is Jesus talking here. It says, "Then he who sat on the throne said," Jesus said this, "Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice that the word cowardly is right next to the unbelieving. And cowardly in the Greek means fearful, timid, and faithless. Fearful, timid, and faithless. So it means if you are timid and fearful, you are lacking faith. It's powerful. And I'm going to stand before the Lord one day, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to be any of that group. I'm not going to be in that group. Isaiah 51:7 says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults." The Lord says, don't fear. Don't fear what man can do to you. Don't fear the reproach of men. Don't fear what they say to you. We're supposed to be like David. You come at me with that. I come at you in the name of the Lord. I'm not going to stand on the sidelines and shake in my boots. See, I want you to notice something, is that all three of these mindsets, these are pray mindsets. They make us pray for the enemy. The mindset we're supposed to have is that of the lion. We're not supposed to be prey for the enemy. The lion, right? It says our enemy walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And these voices, they make us pray. They make us pray to be devoured by our enemy. But we're supposed to have the mindset of the lion, the king of the jungle. Right? The king of the jungle. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Ain't nothing eating a lion. He's at the top of the food chain. We're supposed to have that mindset. We're supposed to be bold. Now the last voice is the voice of the Spirit. This voice lives and moves within the truth of God's word. Pastor Christian and I were talking about this last night. If someone says anything to you that doesn't line up with the word of God, it is not from God. People say all the time, "Well, God told me, oh, God, I've heard some stuff. God told me I was supposed to marry this person, but right now they're married to that person, so I'm praying that that person dies so I can marry that person." True story. True story. And I'm like, okay, that is not of God. No, the Lord told me I was going to marry them. I was like, the Lord did not tell you that. Praying for someone's spouses to die so you can marry them? Are you kidding me? It's crazy, but you know, things like that happen all the time. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and you will be in you. He will be in you. I will not leave you orphans." Huh? "I will come to you." John 16:13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." That's part of the Holy Spirit's job, is to lead us and guide us into all truth. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So not only do we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, right? And these two work in conjunction with each other. Because the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God. Men were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God, so we can trust the Holy Spirit when it lines up with the Word. Okay? If it is not in agreement with the Word of God, it is not the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit is a still, small voice. It's gentle. It's not pushy, but it nudges you in the right direction. The Lord's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's gentle. He doesn't push you. He doesn't make us do anything. He gently nudges us. In 1 Kings 19:11-12, it says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that fire, a still, small voice. The Lord's gentle. He is gentle. Can you hear his voice? Now, if you can't hear this voice, are you being quiet before the Lord? Because a lot of people say, I'm praying all the time. Well, I'm like, you ain't shutting up. Part of prayer is listening. We get in our little prayer closet. I'm going to town in a prayer closet. No. I'm praying. And I'm like, well, what did the Lord say? I don't know. I'm like, well, did you sit and listen? Did you have some communication going on? Like the intimate fellowship, communion there? Was I supposed to? Yes. Yes, you're supposed to. You can't be constantly talking. Right? If you are in a marriage and only one person talks the whole time, that's not going to be a good marriage. You'd be like, you like lamb, right, sweet pea? Like, they're like, what? I don't like lamb. That's nasty. I'm a vegetarian. You're like, when did that happen? I've always been a vegetarian. Why did you tell me? I tried, but you don't listen. The Holy Spirit is always leading, but you have to drown out the other voices. You have to drown out the other voices. Every time I made a bad decision, I drowned out the voice of the Spirit and listened to a different voice. Whether it was myself, whether it was the enemy, whether it was the world, you know? I mean, listen, let's face it, when we want something, well, we drown out the Spirit. Yeah. We're like, no, just go back there for a minute. I'm going to do this. And I can tell you, when I got into debt, I knew the Spirit would say, don't buy that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Don't go there. You know, that's a bad relationship. Oh, I love you. You know? And the Holy Spirit's telling you the whole time, but we're like, carnal mind. Right? Have to listen to the Spirit. You gotta quiet the other voices. You have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that comes in, we have to bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Weigh it by the Word. Is this of God? What, you know, like, you, this isn't of God. Oh my gosh, why am I even entertaining this? Why am I listening to this? Get that out. Your mind must be renewed and you must be born again. Maybe you haven't been born again of the Spirit. Maybe that's why you can't hear the Spirit, because you don't have the Spirit. That could be a source. Are you constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit? Drawing on Him as your source. And John 7:38 says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart, another, it says belly, but belly and heart are kind of the same thing. The ancients thought the belly was the source of the heart. Right? Which is, they say, the way to a man's heart is through his belly. Anyways, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's interesting. I was looking up the definition of a river, right? And this is just the Wikipedia definition of a river. A river is a continuous body of water, right? It says it begins at a source, it has a course, and it has a mouth. I thought, oh man, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Has a source, a course, and a mouth. That's pretty deep, right? I was like, dude, that's good. Jesus, you knew what you were talking about way before then. Has a source, a course in the mouth. See, and if you get dry, you're going to have a hard time hearing his voice because the source is drying up. If your source dries up, you're not going to hear. I love this in Luke 11, 24 and 26. Jesus is saying this. He says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order, and he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. The last state of the man is worse than the first. Now, what's interesting about this story, I was doing a little bit of research on it, and the people that Jesus were talking to at that time believed that demons resided in the desert. Now another interpretation or a translation of that word is waterless places. That demons resided in waterless places. That's where they tried to find rest. And so they come back to an empty body. It's waterless. It's dry. So it's going to come back and says, hey, man, come on, let's have a party here. This is a good waterless place. You can't get waterless. And at the same time, water coming in with no mouth becomes a pond. It becomes stagnant. And you know, if you can overwater plants and they die. If you overwater grass, it will begin to lose all its nutrients and it dies. Right? So we have to be a source, a course, and a mouth. Out of rivers, a source, a course, and a mouth. The voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to drown out every other voice and only tune in to that voice. And if you're having a hard time hearing it, get alone with the Lord. Get alone with your word. Get alone in a room and put on some music, just music, not lyrics. Just some music. And say, Lord, I need to hear you. Come and speak to me. Come and love me. Come and water me. Come and refresh me. And he will. He's a good God. He will. If you need to hear from him, I challenge you to do that. Go home tonight. Don't waste time. Find yourself a place away from everybody else. And tune out everything. Say, God, I don't want to hear these voices. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. And read Ephesians. Start reading Ephesians and say, Lord, I want that to be real in me. I want to hear your voice. I want to know your voice. And I want it to be real in me. Amen. So before we close tonight, we're gonna pray for Christian. If y'all don't know, Pastor Christian here, if you haven't met him, he's gonna be around. You can stay and talk to him. And he got saved at our church when he was 16. Back when we first started and we met in a school, and he drove the O'Neills brought him, and then he drove himself. As a 16-year-old, which I think is just a huge thing, because I wouldn't have done that when I was 16. And his wife, Amanda's here back there. And they are up here because on Monday, he is giving his kidney to Jay's older brother. If you guys don't know that. And so we're going to pray for them. And I'm going to ask you guys that on Monday, if you guys will continue to pray on Monday. This is a big thing. This is a big thing. And so it ends up Christian was just a perfect match, which is just crazy, you know, and for Jay's brother. And so, like I said, that's going on Monday. And so we're going to come up here, and Jay, you come up here too. Some of the guys, Mikey, you want to come up here? You guys pray. And Amanda, you want to come up here too? This is his wife. The two shall become one flesh. Even though she's not giving her kidney, she's going through it with him. She's spiritually giving away a kidney. Father God, I thank you for Christian and Amanda, God. I thank you for this beautiful couple, God. I thank you for his willingness, God. Lord, that greater love has no man, Lord, than to lay down his life, Father. Lord, that this is a big thing, God. He's giving away a kidney, Father. Lord, I just want to pray for him and his family, and I lift up Matt and Jen and their family and the whole Alexander family, Father God. And God, I just pray that you divinely watch over the surgeon's hands, Father God. That you are in there with the surgeons, God. You are doing the cut. You are doing everything, Father God. That you are using the surgeon's hands to do this, Father God. And I pray, God, that Christian has a quick recovery, Father. And I pray for Matt that he receives that kidney, that his body accepts it wholeheartedly, Father God. And that his body gets well and whole in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. And that Christian's body works well and whole, even off of one kidney, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. I pray for peace and comfort for these families in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that this is a divine appointment, Father. I pray for divine connections throughout this whole thing in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. And God, I just ask you that you would bless this family mightily, Father, for his sacrifice in the name of Jesus. That you bless their church mightily in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. God, and I just want to thank you. We give you praises. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord, that you are the God, that everything's in your hand and under your control, Father. And we trust you, God, that you are going to take care of this, Father. We just give you praises and glory and honor, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Amen. Thank you for coming out tonight. I pray that you just take this word and let it get in you. And if you know what, there's lots of people you can talk to if you have any questions. You know, you can talk to somebody. Get your kids. There's church on Sunday, 9 and 11. There's a pancake mission breakfast Saturday morning at 10? 8? 8. 8 to 10. So if you want to come eat pancakes and support the mission trip to Mexico, so let's pray. Father God, I just thank you and praise you for tonight, God. I thank you for this word, Father. I pray that we are just vessels for you, God, and I pray that you get all the glory, you get all the praise, you get all the glory in our lives, Father, that we decrease and you increase, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for all you do for us, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.